talking about the game is no game.
Stop. You're making me laugh so hard. What you're doing is so funny.
Dutcher and Rich.
You're on a roll. I am busting a gut. Ah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Not play this drive. Went. End zone. Caught. Touchdown. Jordan Matthews.
.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. The New England Patriots have jettisoned Brandon Cooks. They got a first round pick in exchange. And now they have gone out and signed ex-Bills wide receiver Jordan Matthews. Mike Lockhart, he does the fantasy football show. He's a draft nick. He is familiar with these guys, yes, Rick.
And this is one of those situations, too, where, you know, it's only a year, but last year he was limited to only 10 games with the Bills because he got that, it was like a chip fracture in his sternum. It was like the first practice of training camp, and later he fractured his thumb in week four, so he missed a game, and then he had the knee injury that put him on injury reserve.
Some mood juice.
So just like all over the place, he's had, you know, he's kind of been jacked up. Apparently he's healthy now, but if you look up his numbers, and before I talked to Mike this morning, most everyone had thought that this is, you know, obviously something that's a positive. And Mike is kind of, you know, he thinks that it being 1 year, I don't want to speak for you, but the 1 year thing is, you know, you're not taking too big of a chance. But I will say this, is that between 2014 and 2017, he had more receiving yards from the slot than any other receiver. I think he had like 2,400
right.
yards. So, I mean, the guy obviously, when he was with the Eagles, was absolutely killing it. So when I came in this morning, I was talking to Mike. I'm like, so what did you think? And your answer was a little unexpected.
Yeah, I was just, I didn't, with all the news yesterday, it kind of got by me. That was the one story that got by me yesterday. I'm not a huge Jordan Matthews fan. I love him coming out of Vanderbilt. I thought he was going to dominate the league. And when I watched him, I don't know, a 6'3" slot guy I thought was going to be better than he is. He has problems with drops here and there a lot. And but, you know, when I found out it was 1 year, it's like, all right, you bring him in, you create competition. Kenny Britt, Dorsett, these are the guys that may make the roster, may not, and Malcolm Mitchell's another guy, too. But I don't know, he just seems kind of soft to me. Like, he's not going to be that guy in the fourth quarter that's going to come up and win you a huge game. He's more...
He lacks the Amendola gene.
Yeah, he's more the guy who could drop the ball and, and lose you the game.
Good!
So that's why, when I saw it, I was just like, ugh.
But he's had bad quarterbacks throwing for him, because he had Mark Sanchez
Carson Wentz. Bad year with Carson Wentz. And you know what, when he was doing all this, he was their main wide receiver. This is before Zach Ertz was a mainstay in their offense, catching all the balls everywhere. Zach Ertz was the guy who was getting hurt all the time, and Matthews was that guy catching all the passes. I mean,
so his numbers are inflated, is what you're saying.
He had like 137 targets or something 1 year, so that was pretty high. So yeah, I mean, he should be catching a lot of passes.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's funny if you look back, and I mean, I think his first year it was Mark Sanchez that was throwing to him, and then Sam Bradford.
Foles might have been in the mix 1 year too.
He might have been. Bradford was one of them too. So I mean, just think about it. He's got, like, you know, these lesser quarterbacks, obviously, than Tom Brady. I like Carson Wentz, obviously, but
yeah. Well, is that the year Foles had? That was like,
I believe it was. Yeah, like
no. That was
rookie year.
See, I thought Foles was. I thought his big year was before all of that. I thought that was like 13 or.
Well, 14 was his rookie year, so I'm not sure when
Foles was 14.
Up.
Okay, well then he was with him. Matthews was with him in 14.
Possibly, I don't know. I really don't know which quarterback was thrown to him that year.
So is soft. He's not one of those guys who's going to go after it. I know that Brandon Cooks actually got a lot of criticism for that as well.
But yeah. He was a vertical threat.
Yeah. And at least sometimes he would come up with a big play at the end of the games. I remember the Houston game last year. It was Cooks, you know, scoring the touchdown and the point after. So I don't expect Jordan Matthews to do that. I mean, he may not even make the roster. So, you know, in August it might not even matter.
Yeah, so I have to think, when you look at the wide receiving core and what is left, and all the question marks we've been talking about, like Dorsett, are you a little worried about Tom Brady and what he's got to work with?
Well, you know, Hogan gets nicked up quite a bit and misses games, so if he can stay healthy and Edelman can come back and bounce back from this ACL, and Gronkowski can stay relatively healthy, maybe play like 14 games next year.
Those are three people who've been injured a lot, though. You know,
Those big question marks.
Yeah.
Not to mention Malcolm Mitchell. All right.
Yeah, well, he's always hurt.
All right, Nora's ex is on the phone.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Okay.
All right. You know what? Jordan Matthews has never broken up a relationship.
All right, shut up. Joe, you are indeed Nora's ex-boyfriend?
Yeah, that was good.
All right. So yesterday, did your friend show you the video that I shot?
I didn't see a video you shot. I saw them post a video of, I think you were, like, walking out the bathroom or something, and they were, like, harassing you, but I didn't know what the deal was.
Now, do you think I am responsible for that relationship ending?
No, that has nothing to do with the show, are you?
All right, thank you. Yeah,
clear that up. You don't have to have that guilt hanging over your head.
Well, yeah, I wasn't guilty because I'm like, what the hell did I do? You know? Like, I'm... Your ex girl's is as far as I'm. She is safe, my friend. Well, I appreciate.
Yeah, I thought it was funny, 'cause I know he's like. I think he's Zuz boy, so I think he was like trying to make teams or something. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, well, they care about you. I can tell you that. And I thought he was kind of joking, but yeah, he started taping me. I just finished taking a pee, and. And then, yeah, so there's a video out there of me telling you that I'm not responsible for your relationship to ending.
I haven't seen that one, but that's pretty funny.
Joe, my buddy, my friend, what's up, man?
Yeah, Joe's all right.
Okay.
Joe's all right. All right.
By the way, we have the video.
Oh, we do?
It's being loaded in right now. The guy who took it just sent it to us.
While we're waiting, Jordan Matthews, one season was with Foles and Mark Sanchez throwing it to him. The one where he led the Eagles in receiving, Sam Bradford was the quarterback.
Yeah, he's not a bad quarterback when he's healthy. All right, Joe, thanks, man.
No, don't worry. Good talking to you guys.
All right, appreciate good. It. There you go. There's Joe. All right, so the video is being...
They're loading it in right now. Yeah, so they sent it to us, and you have that look on your face like, what am I doing?
Yeah, they videotaped you walking out of the bathroom.
Yeah, you are right near the bathroom.
That's just weird.
And you're doing these hands like this. I'm watching that. Like, I have nothing to do with any of this.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, whatever I say is like, I'm weirded out. There's no question about it.
The whole thing is strange.
It's 33 seconds of uncomfortable face.
It's 33 seconds?
Yeah.
Well, let's break. Okay. And then we can come back and the humiliation can continue for me in my life.
Sick. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Technique. Eric B. and Rakim are coming to the House of Blues tonight.
Is that right?
Oh, really?
Wow.
Don't sweat the technique.
They're playing that reunited tour. Actually, kicks up tonight's the first show.
Okay. Didn't they... Am I getting it wrong? Was it just one of the two of them who, like, played a Detroit Pistons halftime and, like, no one was there? Like, there's, like, either one of the two...
Well, it would be Rakim because Eric B. is the DJ.
Okay. Yeah, it was just him, and I remember it was like, well, this is kind of sad. It was like nobody was out there. It was like, did it in front of almost an empty crowd.
I know Slick Rick did one, and it was like just awful.
Maybe it was Slick Rick that I'm thinking about.
No, it could have been Rakim.
Maybe. Does he live in Detroit?
I think he probably lives. I think he's a New York rapper. I don't know where he lives now. All right, so, okay, let's encapsulate everything that happened. Yesterday, Rich and I and Scott Zolak, our boss Mike Thomas, and a couple wonderful people from Beasley took us to the opening day game. And Bertrand and Zolak were at the bowling alley over there.
Lucky Strike.
A bar that was the third one that I walked into thinking that they were all Lucky Strike. And so I go upstairs and I'm hanging out. Adam 12's there. And I go to the bathroom, and when I'm done going to the bathroom, this guy comes into the bathroom, and he says basically something along the lines of, I was responsible for Nora, who's been in studio a couple times, and her boyfriend breaking up. Now, Nora has been on the air, and she says that I'm not responsible. Her ex-boyfriend, Joe, has been on the air saying that I'm not responsible. But he did say, if you missed it, that his friends were looking for me. Like, they were there at that bowling alley looking for me.
Okay, all right.
All right, so the guy goes, will you take a video? And I can't tell if he's being serious or not, so I can show it to my friend.
See, this is a part of the story I didn't realize at the time. You're walking out of the bathroom and
No. He comes to me in the bathroom. And I'm like, if you want to shoot this video, like...
Let me pull up my pants first.
I'm like, you can't shoot this in the bathroom. So right. I still don't know if he's kidding or not.
I'm not... Okay... Were you in the middle of using the bathroom when he said this to you?
Okay. I was just finished.
Okay, all right.
And you know I don't wash my hands because you don't have to.
All right, so here is the video.
Okay, so I wanted to hear this because, A, someone just comes up to you in the bathroom and tells you this. B, somebody said you broke up a 10-year relationship. I want you to essentially apologize for it and do it now. Your face is one of, I don't know what's happening here. It's wildly uncomfortable. There's a lot of denial hands.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like safe, you know, you're safe at home. Woo, he's doing this.
I didn't know if he was kidding or what was going on. It was, suffice to say, it was bizarre. So
I have not heard this.
I have not seen it either.
Okay, so here we go.
Hey, Joe. I'm sorry, man. I know how it feels. I don't talk to Nora. I don't know anything about it. I swear to you, I have nothing to do with any of it. I feel bad, dude. We've all been there. We've all walked in the rain. We've all shed a tear over a lady. Again, your friend keeps saying it's my fault. I know it's specifically mine, but I didn't do nothing. So God bless you, kid. Best of luck.
Seems innocent
yeah,
enough.
Dan wants to know, we've all walked in the rain. When I, when my girlfriend in college broke up with me after 2 years, I walked to the rain in the rain to 7-Eleven to get cigarettes, and I pretended like I was Bruce Springsteen in like a video.
I'm on fire.
Yeah, and I'm not even a fan of Bruce Springsteen. I just sat there crying in the rain.
And it took, smoking a cigarette.
No, then I got my smokes. Uh-huh. Yeah, and then I. Like, you know, sat like on the ground and like smoked in the rain, and then it took me like 2 months to get over it. Cause then sometimes she would come, I would like go, I'd get drunk and I'd like knock on her door and she's like, fine, just sleep in bed with me. And she would take off her clothes and sleep in bed with me.
And after breaking up with you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's just messing
that's
with you.
Really, yeah, that's mind effing deal there. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. And I was so, like enamored with her that I would she still loves me. So yeah,
okay,
that was a tough
well
one.
That's weird. At least we have it solved, and hopefully there won't be anybody waiting for you afterwards.
Okay Ben, go ahead, sir.
Yes, I mean, anybody who would dare to say that that you, Fred Tutcher, break people up, I mean, 3 years ago you guys were so kind enough to send Adolfo to my wedding.
I remember that.
And that I would argue made my wife and I's relationship so much stronger. Maybe she sees me as more, you know, accomplished than Adolfo. I don't know. I don't want to put that. But listen, you guys are you guys should be marriage therapists, because you bring people together. And nothing but sunshine and rainbows come from you guys, with no thanks to Wallach.
What is your best memory of Adolfo at your wedding? Like, is there something that stands out as the moment that Adolfo was there?
I thought, because the walk in was so long, I mean, it literally, it was just such a, I thought it was a recording. And when I finally get to the point where I could see that it was him, and listen, I have fine, my vision is fine, I'm not, you know, I'm not blind. It was about halfway through, I left Sue. Right there in the middle of the flat, I gave this guy a hug, you know, and I think he was a little taken back by it. So was the band. But, you know, just I was just blown away that he was there. Of course, you know, he had the finest, finest wardrobe on there, you know, jeans and a jean shirt, which matched.
A jean shirt and jeans.
He was dressed as Rosie O'Donnell in 1985.
I didn't know if he came off of, like, you know, one of those street cleaning crews or something, you know, on work release or whatever, but it was a magical event. My cousins, when they saw them sneak Adolfo into the venue, they were just, what the hell is Adolfo doing here?
I'm glad that he made you
That's
happy.
good.
You know what I've been watching Assy McGee lately on YouTube,
uh-huh,
where Rich and I did voices. It was produced locally here, but the guys were big fans of her BCN show. And by the way, Rich and I had a lot of lines.
Oh, yeah. we still get the check every once in a while for $0.
I don't anymore. But Rich, I think in his head, because I just watched it, I think you had...
Oh, maybe three. Three lines, possibly. I was Paul Stanley.
Yeah, and then I was some guy, and I had, like...
You're a scientist.
I had three lines.
Yeah.
And so, but they made a character, Adolfo.
Yeah, yeah, because of Adolfo.
Because of Adolfo.
But they called him Alfonso or something like that.
No, they called him Rodolfo.
Rodolfo, that's right. There was a character based on Adolfo on our show.
Yeah, so if you've never seen Anthony McGee, I can't believe they canceled it.
Well, first of all, you're missing out. It's a great show.
Yeah, it's a great show.
Yeah, it's like he's Cobra. It's the talking rear end.
Yeah, it's an ass with feet.
Yeah, right. He sounds like Stallone and Cobra.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's highbrow entertainment.
I got a bullet with your email address on it. Don't make me hit send.
You can barely understand what he's saying. He's just like graveling under his breath.
Right. With a fart here.
By the way, Mike Gorman's takes have set the world on fire. So I tweeted out. I said Mike Gorman told us that he would not include Jason Tatum in a package for Kawhi Leonard, because he believes Tatum in several years could end up a better player than Kawhi. First of all, I will say that I pretty much agree with Mike Gorman in the fact that I don't think I would include Jason Tatum in a package for Kawhi Leonard, because I also think that why wouldn't you keep a guy who has such a massive upside on short money for another 3 years when you could still be able to bring in another max player,
sure,
instead of jumping in right now and getting a guy in Kawhi Leonard, who I love Kawhi Leonard, but he's absolutely right. If you're having problems within the Popovich system and there's personality conflicts with Greg Popovich, what makes you think Brad Stevens is going to be able to fix that?
Well, he's going to need, once he gets his money, the theory is that he'll be back, is that he's petrified of getting hurt before he gets that max deal.
I just don't know if he's the guy that I want to give all of that money to. And I think that if you have, at least for a little longer, a guy like Jason Tatum, who has shown that he can score 14 points a game on average in his rookie year, and you don't have to pay him that much, then maybe he's not the piece you consider moving. I'm not like him where I will immediately say that Tatum's going to be a better player than Kawhi, because you know what that would mean? That would mean that you're going to be that Tatum's going to be a top 10 player in the NBA, because that's what Kawhi is. Kawhi is a top, when healthy, he's a top 10 player in the NBA, and a couple years ago was thrown around as MVP. I mean, this is something that one of the best defensive players in the league. You got to really, really, really love Jason Tatum, and I do, and I think he's got a huge upside. But I also think that it would be smart for the Celtics to not keep this guy. You have a pretty damn big talent it's costing you nothing.
I will tell you this, is that I love Mike Gorman, but he is always going to err on the side of people that are already on
Well,
the
here come the comments, okay? Well, first of all, a lot of people agree with Mike Gorman, so let's just get that out of the way. But then we have, I don't want to trade Tatum either, but this is a guy who was headed to trade away Tyler Zeller. He has no credibility. I don't remember that. Did he ever say Tyler Zeller he didn't want to trade?
I don't remember that either. It was just the guard that Avery Bradley.
Oh,
he
yeah.
said he wouldn't trade Avery Bradley for anyone except for Durant or LeBron James.
Gorman lost credibility when he said he wouldn't trade Zeller, Crowder, Jefferson, etc., and they just started naming names. Then he said, you might want to also start thinking about Kyrie. That knee is going to be a problem. Okay, all right. Yeah, that's what they should do. Just move on from Kyrie. And then everyone's like, saying, how is this trade even mentioned? Mike Gorman said the only player he would trade Avery Bradley for was LeBron. So
that is true.
Unfortunately, Mike Gorman does have that kind of hanging over his head. Mike Gorman also will admit that he didn't want to trade Al Jefferson for Kevin Garnett.
I don't remember that one.
Would he consider?
He didn't do the show at that point.
Would he consider Semi Ojeleye for Kawhi? Probably not. So, unfortunately, Mike Gorman has a little bit of a history in really liking some of these players.
You wouldn't rather have Kawhi than Irving?
Than Irving? No. I'd much rather have Irving than Kawhi. Yep, without a doubt. Kawhi is, or Irving is the straw that stirs the drink. He's got, he's one of these guys that, Kawhi has proven it in the past, but I think that Kawhi, in my opinion, is one of the most dynamic closers in the game.
Up until this year, I would have said no problem, but after watching Kawhi Leonard deal with the injury issue and his hesitancy to come back from that and his conflict with Greg Popovich, I think that takes him down.
Based on ability of play.
I still think Kyrie.
If you take that out.
I would say Kyrie Irving. I mean, because right now, I mean,
both
just position.
Players,
look at the position.
Both players have
team.
Closed in a finals. Both players.
Sure,
have
they
closed
have.
In a finals.
Mm-hmm.
And Kawhi Leonard is a better defensive player. I think we can all agree on that. So I would think about that.
But this
sure,
team needs a point guard more than it needs the position.
I think you can pick up a point guard. I don't think.
Not as good as Kawhi. Not as good as Kawhi Leonard,
when healthy and properly motivated and everything is fine, is one of the 10 best players in the league.
Yes, we agree.
and Kyrie Irving is there, maybe one or two steps back.
Sure.
So I don't think that's outrageous at all. But again, we can't go back. I mean, things are different.
And also, we've seen Kyrie buy in to Brad Stevens. And so, like, he obviously works well in this system. Just
before
as well.
This year, I would have said Leonard would have bought in to Stevens, too.
But now we know.
But the conflict with a guy like Popovich certainly raises a lot of questions.
He's nervous about playing when he's injured because he wants to make
money. As I said, you can't go back. Things are different now.
All right, what do we have coming up in the old Stackaroon?
All right, there are two people being celebrated for retiring, and I say screw those guys. We will get to that right after the break.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the Stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line. It's 617-931-0985. We'll win a dozen Callaway Chrome Soft golf balls. The new Chrome Soft combines tour-proven performance with unparalleled field distance and spin control. Chrome Soft, the ball that changed the ball.
Okay, so there are two hockey players who last night played their last game. They are both retiring, and everyone's talking about what an amazing way to go out, where you had one get the assist on another one who scored, and everyone truly enjoyed this moment last evening.
Daniel. Henrik. Back for Daniel. Let's go, he scores!
Daniel and Henrik Sedin from, of course, the Vancouver Canucks. F those guys. There's some sports hate that I will never, ever get over. It's so funny how I look back, and I don't think, out of all of the playoff runs of any team that I liked, there was a team I ended up hating more than the Vancouver Canucks. Do you remember when we went into that series, too, the big knock was, there's really no drama there. There's nobody really to hate on this team. And then what happens? Two games in, the Vancouver Canucks are up 2-0. And then during game two, do you remember when Alex Burrows bit the finger of Patrice Bergeron? Mm-hmm. It was Bergeron's finger.
Sure.
So he ends up biting it, and everyone's all laughing. And then before game three, do you remember when they had the little stand-up thing, and it was there, each like they're talking to the camera, and it was the two Sedins talking about their buddy Alex Burrows that was next to him?
I'm Henrik Sedin. This is my brother Daniel. And on the other side, we've got the vegetarian Alex Burrows.
Such a funny joke. You bit Patrice Bergeron's finger. You creepy-ass twins from The Shining looking idiots. Their beady little eyes. I hate those sons of bitches. And the one thing, too, about those guys is that afterwards, do you remember how Lucic got back and like started shoving his finger mm-hmm. in Alex Burrow's face? Those guys in the Canucks, I can't think of a team that pissed me off more. Remember you had Roberto Luongo, who I actually like now. He's the one guy in that team I've kind of come around on. The whole he doesn't pump my tires enough, and they continue to whine about that. Well, Brad Marchand, who is the best. If you follow him on Twitter, if you don't follow him on Twitter, follow him on Twitter. Fred, he might be the pure reason why you need to get on there just for his troll game. So two nights ago, Brad Marchand tweeted, "Congrats on a great career to the Sedins, two of the best playmakers to ever play the game. All the best in retirement." And so he starts getting a bunch of crappy tweets back. A lot of angry people. "You're acting like I took something from you." As he sits there and watches the Vancouver Canucks fans get bull crap about him. So I love Brad Marchand.
Hall of Famers, both of the Sedins.
Of course they are.
I don't think so.
I think they're
it was
funny. I was watching Jack Edwards, and they were talking about the Sedin twins retiring, and Jack Edwards was incredulous that anyone would think they wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
All right, who is up for the Hall of Fame that we talked about?
Oh no, it was an article written by Kevin Allen of USA Today. We've had his hot NHL writer for USA Today.
So Chara's a gimme, Luongo's a gimme.
Zetterberg, we talked about
Zetterberg,
great defensive player. He thinks he'll be in.
I don't think he'll be in, but okay, keep going.
Who else? Now you put me on the spot. I'm trying to think. Those are the three. Obviously, Char is a slam dunk.
Yeah.
Zetterberg is a probable. The Sedin twins are more than likely in. They both have over 1,000 points.
But that was, and then there was another guy who you wouldn't think.
Yeah.
That had a lot more points than we thought.
Do you remember Milbury, even during the playoffs, like started ripping on him?
By all means, stay on Thelma and Louise. I mean, Henrik and Daniel.
So even he threw something in there, a jab to those guys.
I don't think they're a guaranteed Hall of Famer.
Well, everyone's saying they are. And Fred, I don't know the standards anymore. It's ridiculous who gets in, who doesn't. But that, I mean,
all right, hang on.
Word is that they are going to be there.
Joe Thornton was one they talked about.
He's not going to the Hall of Fame.
No doubt he will enter the Hall of Fame, according to Kevin Allen. No doubt. even though he hasn't won a Stanley Cup. He's been at Yager. It was mentioned. That's easy. Patrick Marleau of the Maple Leafs played with Thornton for all those years, and Marleau has 550 goals.
Yeah,
I mean he's a guy.
Maybe Thornton gets in. Okay, so I'll give you Thornton. I mean, I don't think
won
Yager
the Hart
gets
Trophy in 2006. Led the league in scoring the same year.
Yager's not in. He didn't do enough.
No, of course not.
So Chara, Yager, Thornton, Luongo,
Lundqvist, both Sedins, Zetterberg.
Not Luongo, Lundqvist. Lundqvist. Yep, he's in. I don't know.
And Marleau, who's a borderline.
And what percentage does he give the Sedin twins?
He let's see here. He just says they're both going to the Hall of Fame, and here are some of the players that could follow them in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, all I've seen is people saying that they're going to be in, but, I mean, who the hell knows?
They're pussies!
Well, they haven't got home here. It's okay. The Sedins!
Okay. I missed 2011. So
I know,
much.
It was great. It was great. It. But I don't think, yeah. I think that I hated the Canucks more than, like, any LeBron James-led team, like, during the playoff runs. They were just such a-holes, like everything about them and the way that they and also they were so cocky. I don't know, it was just it was also one of my favorite runs by any team with the Bruins that year.
The
anyway,
dumbass hype song and the stupid fans after they
I forgot
lost
about
remember
that
Vancouver
duck sauce.
Yeah,
that was awful. Well, taking a look at the box office for this weekend, a bunch of movies coming out, including one I can't wait to see. It's the one with John Krasinski called A Quiet Place. It's about a family that lives in the woods and they can't make any noise, or there is some sort of unseen monster that will come and attack them. Or is it a monster? Who knows? It's very M. Night Shyamalan to not let you know anything about it, but it's got a 96% positive on that. It's John Krasinski's, I don't know if it's his debut directing, but he's directing it, the dude from The Office. That's got 96%. Another movie that's doing pretty good as far as the tomatoometer is concerned is Blockers, the new John Cena film about him being a father, and there's a couple other parents who find out that there has been a high school pledge to lose your virginity, and the parents essentially show up at prom and try to break it up, and it's apparently getting very good reviews, 82% on that one. Chappaquiddick, obviously many people are familiar with the story that happened right around here, 81% for that film. So there you go. I know that I still wouldn't mind seeing Ready Player One. Have you seen that yet? I know that John,
I want
to.
I have not seen it yet.
All right. Steven Spielberg just hasn't been making good movies lately, so I don't know if that's going to change anything around. All I know is that Tyler Perry's Acrimony, which was made for like $3 million, made like $17 million.
Of course it did, that's what Tyler Perry does.
Tyler Perry is a profitable man. All right, we'll be right back. Find out what Zoe and Bertrand have on the way.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Want to thank Cumberland Farms. They dropped off a lot of stuff. A great breakfast for us this morning. We have a sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich, which I just finished off. Coffee, cinnamon rolls, muffins, the whole thing. Get up and get going at your local Cumbies with 2-for-4 breakfast sandwiches and 99-cent coffee any size, anytime.
Sports Hub headlines.
Celtics announced yesterday Kyrie Irving out for the season. He needs another surgery on his left knee and is out 4 to 5 months. Celtics play Chicago at TD Garden tonight. I'll join Cedric Maxwell for this one. We'll have the pregame at 7. I'll join Cedric Maxwell for this one. We'll have the pregame at 7. I'll join Cedric Maxwell. I'll join Cedric Maxwell for this one. We'll have the pregame at 7. I'll join Cedric Maxwell for this one. I'll join Cedric Maxwell for this one. We'll have the pregame at 7. We'll tip off at 7:30 here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. I'm John Wallach at Boston's Home for Sports. I'll join Cedric Maxwell for this one. We'll have the pregame at 7. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Okay.
There you go.
Someone is excited about joining Cedric Maxwell.
Well, Johnny tonight. Wall game. Won't get there till 5.
Nope.
But is the homework done?
Almost.
I don't even know if it's corny to call it homework. But
almost. The studying.
The studying is just about finished. Yes.
Okay. So you feel comfortable?
Yes.
All right, good. Have you called anything besides basketball?
Yes, a long time ago. It's just been basketball the last 5 or 10 years, but remember I told you in Providence, when Gosher was doing Providence Bruins games, I used to fill in for him.
Oh, hockey's got to be hard as hell.
Hockey is impossible.
Of all the sports, that's got to be the toughest.
Hockey's really, really hard, but I did it all when I was younger, baseball and football.
See, base, the hockey's just the, because you don't know who's playing. Like, you know, you don't know who's on the ice.
I know. It's really, really hard, which is why Gosher makes the difficult sound easy. When you listen to him, it's like, oh, I could do that. And then you get up there and you're like, no, you can't do that.
Well, Gosher has the same thing that, like, I know Jack Edwards has, where it's just this massive,
yep,
like, spreadsheet of everyone who's playing, all the lines, the orders, and it's like, you know, Command Central in front of him. And he needs all of that information, you know, at any given point, you can look down and access it. But I have to think that football's the easiest, because it's just, you know, 10 seconds at a time, and then you toss it over to the color person who says what they just saw.
See, unicards!
Baseball, for my skill set, baseball would be the easiest.
Okay.
Because I can
again,
improvise
you gotta,
for that's for
the
3
thing.
Hours.
That's the hardest thing. Most of what you do is just talking about stuff.
Yeah,
there's no action in front of you. Baseball, for most people, is the hardest.
But you're right.
If you just BS for 3 hours or 4 hours or 5 hours or whatever it is.
Right.
I mean, that's...
But I couldn't do anything else. I'd get too confused.
But if you're Soucy, you just do 10 seconds. You can kind of take a breath and wait for the next play while Zolak does his thing. And then you do another one. And then you can kind of take a breath and relax. Whereas hockey, you are talking constantly. Yep. Painting a picture of a hockey game over the radio
really
is
hard.
Incredibly
difficult. I mean, Jack Edwards gets stuff wrong all the time. Like the guy who took the shot, or if it was a save when it wasn't a save. And it's not his fault.
I can't blame him because the lines are changing. I mean, obviously, you watch the Bruins enough. That's easy. But the opposing team that you see once every other month, that's hard to do.
I don't know. When Cassidy mixes up lines,
that's
and
right,
people haven't come out.
All of a sudden, Colby Cave is on the ice. Like, whoa, where'd that guy come from?
That's right. All right. Zolak can't come in here to make the last 4 minutes a little bit easier.
We were hanging out with him yesterday. He was Captain Mover Shaker Headline Maker. Everyone loves Zolak.
He told Nick to get lost.
Did he really?
Is Hardy here?
Yeah, Hardy's hanging around. I saw him there a second ago.
The Masters, round two going on. He's around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Josh Fowler from NBC Sports Boston is at the Masters.
Ah, I did not know that. That
why?
Is a,
just for the heck of it? He's,
well, because
he's
of
like
the Masters.
Or?
You gotta, I mean, now, I think that I'm now going to put that on my list. I've been down there, but never actually for a round.
No, you've just been down there causing trouble.
I have. I've actually been there for a practice before. Or like,
iron my
shirt. Before the week.
No, iron my shirt. One of my favorite bits, and we did not play it this week.
Well, we played it so much for so many years.
I think it's fantastic.
Cook me dinner.
She was a treat. She was an absolute treat. But that is a strange place, man. And I say this anytime anyone journeys down there, just get ready for a hole. Augusta is a hole outside of the Masters. It's garbage. It's a horrible place. Anyone who wants to stay there, good, you know, God bless you. Good luck. But it is just garbage.
And you got to stay out of town.
You have to.
Yeah.
Although, did you hear about that one bus? There was a commuter bus that was picking up people just outside of town, and the driver was drunk, and the bus flipped over.
No.
And, like, caused a backup there.
That's going to happen from time to time. I mean, you got to roll the dice.
If you're the police, you kind of factor that stuff in.
Sure.
You know, for the week.
You can't expect the driver to be sober the whole time. Well, Scotty Z,
it's fun hanging out with you yesterday.
It's good seeing you guys.
Yeah.
And,
you guys look like hipsters walking together with all your black on and your hats, flat brimmed hats.
So wearing black is now a hipster thing and having
kind
a hat?
Kind of looked hip. You look different. Different than the other people.
Because I'm wearing black?
I'm wearing my wife's jacket.
It was like tight black and he has the brim hat.
I'm wearing my wife's jacket.
It looks like it.
Nick, walk over and show what a hipster is.
Show what a hipster is.
No, that's just a weirdo. It's like somebody I see down Coolidge Corner in Cambridge. Like, that's why I don't go to Cambridge.
You took my.
That's the reason.
My beard is so white.
Where's your watch? It's your thick leather strap.
Yeah, Coolidge Corner's in Brooklyn.
Yeah, it is. It's nowhere close to Cambridge.
You don't got a tat on the inside here, huh?
Maybe that's why you never go to Coolidge Corner in Cambridge because it doesn't
exist.
You're
looking in the wrong place.
Where's your barbed wire tattoo?
Hang on. You think hipsters have barbed wire tattoos?
Like Murray.
Murray has a barbed wire tattoo.
I'm sure he does somewhere on that sleeve.
No.
You think he's got one?
No,
yeah. He doesn't.
It's like a Jersey Shore tattoo.
Like 311.
Oh, I missed Jersey Shore last night. How was it?
Like they're not going to play it again.
Oh my god!
How was
phenomenal.
It?
Phenomenal.
Okay,
but Sammy Sweetheart's not.
They've gotten older. Vinny looks great. Ronnie is such a meathead. But Pauly D's making some bank, man.
Are any of them trying to like clean up their image? Because if then it's no fun anymore.
Pauly D's got it all figured out. Like
he's in a bad way?
He lives in Vegas. He's got this huge house. He drives Rolls Royces, white Ferraris.
He's the one guy who legitimately makes like a decent amount of money DJing clubs.
I heard a number that he gets per night, and it's It's pretty good.
Yeah.
We don't want to see DJ Paul Vecchio. DJ.
Paulie Del Vecchio?
Paulie Del Vecchio.
I don't think he DJs for less than $200,000 a night.
Well, good for him. I mean, I would want to see a guy who was on a reality show 10 years ago, DJ.
Snooki looks like you think Snooki would look. J-Wall's kind of figured some things out.
Jay always had big fake boobs.
Making all the girls' panties drop.
That was Pauly D's big thing that he would play whenever he was doing the ones and twos.
Yep. DJ Pauly Del Vecchio.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yes. No Sammy Sweetheart, though. She did not make the return.
No, but they had a doll of her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nobody cared about Sammy, though. Like she
was Pauly D. Pauly D got one of those fake dolls that looks just like her. And he put her voice in there. You compress it. It says all the things. All the girls go, oh, my God, no.
Did they talk about the situation's tax problems?
Yes.
Potentially going to jail when I turned it off. He didn't meet up with them. He was allowed to go later in the show.
Okay.
But from tax evasion, yeah.
Okay, I got to watch it.
Going to court.
I'm in.
Because they're all got like real lives now.
Yeah.
They had to grow up. But now it's like it's going to be chaos with them all together.
All right. What do you guys got going today?
It's Friday.
Okay. It is indeed. That much is a fact.
It's Friday.
All right, John. Good luck tonight.
Have fun.
7 o'clock.
Yeah, okay. Walt, you're all cocky today, huh?
Yes, he is. Right. Bye.
You see Junior plugging him.